We're believing God to touch tonight. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me where I am. I was going to see if y'all had discernment. Glory. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. Book of Numbers, chapter 13. Believing God to touch tonight, minister. Amen. I'm believing God to wake us up. Amen. The Bible plainly states, awake, awake, O thy sleeping generation, for the coming of the Lord is nearer than we think it is, even at the door. I think it's time church woke up. We've been in dreamland and la-la land long enough. You know, you got some churches, they dream it all is going to be good and never going to have no problems, no troubles, no trials. I don't know when they're going to wake up. Hello? I was preaching at one church in particular, and I had a lady come to me at church. She said, I don't like you. I said, well, everybody's got their ideas of what they like. She said, oh, it's not got nothing to do with that. Just simply this. I don't believe in nothing negative. I said, you don't? She said, nope. She said, that's all you talk about is negatives. I said, well, lady, where are you getting that negative? She said, I don't have nothing negative in my life. She said, God's blessed me. I got a Lincoln God give me. I said, he gave you a Lincoln Continental? She said, oh, yeah. I said, and it's totally paid for. She said, no, I'm making the payments, but he gave it to me. So I go out after church. I said, I want to see that car. She got it. If you get around my car, you'll find out in the middle I keep a thing that it's a little bit of everything. It's a pair of pliers. It's a screwdriver. It's a knife. It's got all kind of stuff in it. And I reached over, got out of the car before I went to her car, and I flipped it over to the part that says, you know, it's pliers. And I got out there, and she wasn't watching. I reached down and undone the bolt and pulled her negative boast off of her battery rather and laid it off to the side, and I closed the hood back down. I said, man, that's a nice car. Let's see what it sounds like. She got in there and she done like that. I said, lady, that car's just like you like it now. She said, it won't crank. I said, I know, I took the negative post off because you don't like negatives. She said, well, it won't work. I said, that's right, because unless you have a negative pull, you ain't gonna get a positive charge. Hello? Glory. Hooked it back up, cranked up, and I said, see, lady, that's how life works. Glory. Amen. It's a wonder I ain't got shot in my day, but. Numbers chapter 13. And they returned from searching in the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And brought back and unto them, and said unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Minister to us, God, and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? And these people get up here to sing, and they decide to move everything on the pulpit. They throw away my little piece of paper that I had. But I remember what was on it. There is about $1,800 of insurance money still floating out there. So if you took one of those things home, haven't brought your money back, do it or bring us back the number so we can get somebody else to do it so we can get the money in to cover what we've already spent. It does not pay the insurance, but it sure does help. Hello? The insurance we paid in June is about $11,000. And so we use this to raise part of the money so we don't mess up the budget. So I'd appreciate it if you took one of the numbers home. There's about $1,800 worth of numbers out. So if you took one home, if you can't pay it, that's fine. If you're going to pay it, just send us a little note. I owe you and I'm coming. Because I'm going to give them one. I owe you and I'm coming. And next week or two, I'll give them my money because I owe them some. I paid the big part, but I still owe the small part. And I'm working on it. I may need to let one of y'all let me cut your grass, get some money for it. That's if I can get my lawnmower back. Glory. Man says lawnmower's ready, so I'm out of trouble there. Glory. You ever notice how sometimes things can happen and you don't even realize how it happened? Huh? Brother Joe took the lawnmower apart when he carried it home the other day to fix some things on it. And while he had it apart, he dropped the lawnmower deck. And there was a hammer on top of it that I'd picked up out here in the grass from somewhere. And I had no clue it was under there. But he'd picked the mallet up and he'd just riding around under there having a big time. Oh, and I think he said they used it in the fall festival. So he'd been out there all this time. I don't tell him when I picked it up, but it was up on that deck just riding around having a big time. Glory. Oh, so things can happen. Sometimes you don't even realize they happen. Amen. Got nothing to do with the sermon. I want to talk to you tonight about Wake Up Caleb. Our text tonight is looking at the children of Israel who failed to take possession of the promised land simply because they were afraid to take on the adversary that was between them and the promises God gave them. The guys came back and they're giving them this thing. Hey, guys, it's everything they said it was. It's running with milk and honey. Look at all this fruit. It's awesome. But there's some stuff God didn't tell us about. Them Amalekites that ran us off from the lake over there one day. And there was a lake in the desert every day, in case y'all hadn't figured that out. Amen. There was a rock that rolled around with them, and every time they got to where they were stopping, the rock would just pour out water and fix them a lake so they could water the animals and get water themselves. And one day while they would let their animal water and the manna had come, the Amalekites came up and ran them off. And God took an oath that he'd destroy them from the face of the earth, and he told Joshua to do it when he put them in the promised land, and he didn't do it, and he told Saul to do it, and he didn't do it. And because of that, they have fulfilled Moses' prophecy when he said, do what God said do. If he said kill them, because if you don't, they will be thorns in your flesh and pricks in your eyes all the days that you exist. And can I tell you, the Philistines and the Amalekites have become known today as Palestinians, and they are still thorns in the flesh and pricks in the eyes of the people of Israel because God's people never took care of the problem. Amen. Hey, church, I won't throw this in. It won't cost you nothing. It's not in the sermon. But some of you got stuff you've been toying with for 20 years and you ain't made up your mind you're going to get rid of it. And it keeps picking at you and it keeps knocking you down. And some of you need to wake up and realize if you'll just put it away like I talked about this morning, God will begin to pour into you seed that'll make you an overcomer and you'll get rid of it. Amen. But now notice, they're trying to get a hold of it, and the Bible tells us that the people all of a sudden go, what now? He said, not only are they the Amalekites, you got the Jebusites, them some bad folks, you got the Canaanites, they're bad folks, but said, we ain't told you about the bad ones. We ran into some of the sons of Anak. Now those of you who don't know who the sons of Anak were, they were the progenitors of a guy named Goliath. They were huge. I mean, Goliath might have even been a miniature compared to some of them people that these folks saw. They compared themselves to them and said, we look like grasshoppers beside them. Hello? And they're like, dude, we can't fight them guys. They got one spirit, shish kebab, 6-8 of us at a time. We're not going to fight them people. And so they're like, no, we can't go over there. They're bad. And notice what the Bible said. Caleb stilled the people, said, let us go up now and take that land because we are well able in God to do whatever he said. If God said it's ours, it's ours. Church, can I tell you, some of you need to quit sitting waiting on something to happen in your life. You need to wake up and realize God has said it, and if God said it, he don't need anybody's permission for it to happen. You just need to take possession of what God has told you you can have in your life. Amen. God's angry at rebellious people for preserving the Israelites. But he took a great deal of pleasure in the man Caleb. Listen, in Numbers 14. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto the fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. All those people that left Egypt, two people out of nearly 3 million, crossed the river into the promised land of God. But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Amen. Caleb and Joshua, the only two that wasn't afraid to go. They came back trying to figure out why they wasn't loading up the camels on the first day. Amen. And they get through talking about the Amalekites and the Anakites and all the big guys over on the other side. And one of them turned around and said, "You've not seen Jericho. It's never been defeated. You can't get in it." Joshua said, "Slept there last night." And said, "I was sitting on the other side of the river waiting for a good time to cross." And said, "The Lord sent his captain down to talk to me. And he told me how to take the city. It's a perfect plan." Church, aren't you glad he was wise enough not to explain to them what they were going to do till they got there? Would you like to be in a crowd when he comes up and says, "Hey, we're just going to march around the city 13 times. Yell one time and the wall's just going to fall." I can see you right now going, "He's been the sun too long." Glory. Hello? I see a couple of y'all looking up in your Bibles. It was 7 times. No, that's in the song. In the Bible, it was 13. They went around each day one time for 6 days. And on the 7th day, they went around 7 times. Now, when I took math, that's 13. And guess what? Just to show you how God was, he's got a sense of humor. He said, "While you're walking, don't say nothing." Have you ever been around Jewish folks? I mean, you know, they are wild. I remember when we were in Israel, they were having church at our motel because on the Sabbath, they show up 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whenever Sabbath starts on Friday, they sound an air raid warning. Believe me, that's not something you want to hear when you're in Israel, especially when you're in the Palestinian section in a grocery store. This guy walks over and, "It's okay. It's just the beginning of Sabbath." So I crawled out from under the thing I was under. Hey, the air raid sign went off, so I dove down, slid under something. He comes walking over there grinning and tapped me with his foot and said, "It's okay, it's just the Sabbath." I mean, I'm about a half a mile away from everybody else in our group, and all I'm thinking is I'm not in a building with the right color top. Glory. I'm in a Palestinian grocery store. If they bombing, I might get it. I got back to the motel and found out we couldn't go in the cafeteria to eat because they'd turned it into a temple. And they're going to have church in there all night, Friday night, all day, Saturday. And I ain't talking about for an hour or two. 3 o'clock in the morning, I go down there and they're dancing. Woo, they're having church. Somebody's reading scripture and then they're dancing. And they're having church. We eat sandwiches Friday night. We had a cold biscuit on Saturday morning. Amen. We got in the bus and left. We come back Saturday afternoon, got there before they left. They're still in there kicking. 5 o'clock, they finally stopped, but they were having church. They love it. They love to be in. They're very boisterous people. Can you imagine that for 6 days while they're walking around that town in the heat, they can't say a word? But do you know why? Because something Joshua said, "The Lord of hosts will go before us." And if God's standing, there must be silence. And he's walking in front of them and they can't say anything. And on the 7th day, they make 7 trips around the city and they can't say anything. And then all of a sudden, God says, "Okay, I'm going to get rid of the walls for you. Y'all shout." And he sits down so they can talk. My theory, you can't prove me wrong. because those walls just settled down into the ground. And I think God just sat on and said, okay, guys, it's yours. Glory. And the walls went down like an elevator into the ground and opened up a city that had never been defeated because the walls were so thick. And they took the city. Amen. Come on, church. That's in your Bible. Don't look at me like I just told you something. Now, they just said the walls went down. But archaeologists' digs have proven the walls just set down into the ground. They didn't fall out because, listen, they were wide enough they could raise chariots around. If they had failed, they'd had to crawl over them. They went in the ground so they could just walk in. Can you imagine those people during that time that's going on there and they're laughing at them? Hey, y'all think y'all just going to walk around and the wall's going to fall? And then I'll say, they fail. Hello? Somebody said, I thought your sermon was about Caleb. It is, but I got to get you to this. Because Caleb's over there fighting with them when they took Jericho. Then when they got through, he turned around and he said, now I'm going to take them mountains y'all said couldn't be took. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. We're living in perilous times, church. I don't know if you understand it or not. Tempestuous times. Times of uncertainty. We don't know what the economy's going to do. We're getting excited because gas prices are going down. They're not dropping fast enough. Oil is $40-something dollars a barrel. I don't know if you understand that or not. That's the lowest it's been since the mid-80s. I don't know if y'all understand that, but we were paying less than $2 a gallon then. We're still over $2 because they ain't bringing it down like they need to. Hello? Somebody's making profit. But the reality is we're sitting here going, man, what's going to happen? Then the next thing you know, they got to sell off. I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but Disney for over 60 years has been one of the number one stocks on the stock exchange. This past month, it was took off that list because it's losing money on the stock exchange now. And people are afraid to buy Disney stock. Mickey's going broke. Glory. Hello? What does that mean? Well, it's just the beginning of things that's starting to shape up in this world to go backwards to what we thought it was going to do. We've been worshiping Baal at that stock market for years, and it's about time God's going to say, I'm tired of it. Come on, church. Somebody said, wait a minute, preacher, we're not worshiping Baal. What was Baal? It was a bull. What's in front of the stock market? A big bull. And what do they say about stocks? Oh, I'm bullish on these stocks. I'm really worshiping Baal. These will get you something. Come on, church. Amen. The reality is this whole country's stuck with all kind of idolic worship and things that are going on around us. Now we've got to where we're accepting any kind of religion, saying it's all right. They got a right to believe what they want to. They do. But they don't have a right to tell me my God is not the greatest God on the face of this earth. And if anywhere around, they don't have a right to tell me I can't worship him the way I want to. They can't tell me that I cannot stand up for the word of God, for what it says, and say, you're wrong, I'm right. Glory. We're at war. In Afghanistan, Iraq, we've even got planes bombing in Syria. We've got planes bombing some over in Eastern Europe where the Soviets are the Russians are fighting against them. Poor folks over there trying to whoop a country five times their size. We've got missiles firing in other places. We're sending stuff to people to help fight. And if it ain't bad enough, we got war over there. We got war inside our borders. We've got war on terrorism going on. Every time you look up, now you got somebody going to a movie theater shooting somebody or trying to light it up with lighter fluid. Hello? We've got racial war starting up where people are getting upset and fighting. And can I tell you, if you read scripture, it said there will be war, a rumor of war, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. What is that? That's infighting inside the nations. And that kind of stuff's going on. The Bible said the seas and the waves roaring over in the book of Luke. What's he talking about? The people hollering, we are oppressed by our government. We're going to overthrow it. And every continent has some type of a civil conflict going on it right now. And the Bible said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Well, preacher, I'm not sure. 2 Timothy said this. He said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Come on, church. Just talk to anybody in the church. We're going to do this in the church. What's it going to do for me? Who cares? Everything we do in the church ain't about you. But we got people think it's not going to benefit. I remember one time we were talking about doing something in Buell and a lady got mad because we couldn't make money while we were doing it. Why is everything we do got to make money? Y'all may not believe it. I've had some people ask me why they couldn't sell stuff at the fall festival. I said, what part of free do you not understand? Glory. When we put everything's free, that means you don't charge. Because we want the public to get exposed to this church. That's what it's all about. But we've got people that are so hung up on themselves. It's all about, what am I going to get from it? How am I going to make from it? And let's face it, church, it's not about that. But we're living in that world where we see it. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen to them. How can it benefit them? How can they get ahead of somebody? Amen. Covetous. Have you ever been in a world where everybody thinks you got to have everything everybody else has got? We got people so broke they can't pay the self-attention trying to keep up with everybody else. That come back up here, I don't know why, but it did. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Church, I had a guy one time walk up to me, and he was talking to me about running a revival before I came here to pastor. And he gave me a tape, said, go listen to this so you know how you got to preach if you come into my church. I took the tape and listened to it, and I thought, dude, I got it made if this is all I got to compete with. Glory. I'm not knocking the dude, but I wouldn't have gave nobody a tape that was as good as I could get down. I may not be the greatest preacher in the world, but that was bad. And he would want me to compete against it, and I wasn't trying to compete. I just wanted to go preach. Amen. I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but I'm not in a competition with anybody. If you fall, I'll try to help you get on down the road, because I'm not trying to outrun you. I just want us all to get there. Come on, church. I had an evangelist come up to me one time. He said, boy, I beat you last month. Because right before we went to camp meeting, the echo came out. And he showed over there with revival reports. He said, I have more saved, more sanctified, more filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, man, I didn't know we was in competition. I tried harder. Glory. Come on, church. But we're living in a world where people are boasting and they're disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. What does that mean? Out of control. You can get shot for not turning your turn signal on. I was pulling in the parking lot Friday night at the Walmart market over in Helena. I stopped to get some chicken for Yak and Snack because I was late getting back here and couldn't cook. So I figured I'd let them do the cooking for me. I started in the parking lot, and this lady comes flying across the parking lot, running in front of me, slammed on her brakes, and went. And I'm like, I'm just driving down the road. She cut in front of me. And I thought the little lady was going to get out and wear me out. And I'm sitting there going, what did I do? And I shouldn't have done that, because then she parked that car and parked, rolled that window. She said, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I backed up, and she followed me till I parked. And when I parked, I got out of the car, and she said, hey, do you think you are? I said, I'm Ken Stroop, ma'am. How are you? Who are you? Oh. She looked at me, and she said, you like to hit me. I said, but ma'am, I was in the right of way. You the one running across parking spaces in front of me. She said, but I was in front of you. What is that? I mean, we actually believe because you in front, you okay. If I'd have T-boned her, she wouldn't have been okay. That wasn't that big a car. But the point is, we're out of control in this world. Right here in Birmingham, we had a guy kill a lady in a car wreck because she cut in front of him without turning her blinker on, and he spilled coffee in his lap and dropped his cell phone. Y'all figure that out. I'm on the phone drinking coffee, driving with my leg. Lady cut in front of him. He dropped the coffee, dropped the cell phone, lost the big business he was doing. So he slammed into the back of her car. She went through the meeting, hit a car head on, and killed her. Someone got his tag number. Now, I'm not telling you what I think happened. He admitted what went on when they caught him. But he's spending several years in prison for vehicular manslaughter because he couldn't control himself. We're in a place where people get mad. They can't control their temper. I mean, let's face it. We got a kid right here in town. Beat a guy up with a baseball bat a couple of weeks ago for some reason and killed him. Now he's looking at life in prison without possibility of parole. It's sad, but we're in a world that's incontinent. Traitors, heady, high minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How many people miss church on Sunday because they got something they better they want to do? You say, preacher, you're preaching to the choir. No, I'm not. Because some of y'all every once in a while, I'm not going to be there. I got to go so and so. If you've got anything in your life more important than God, you've got some problems somewhere. Lord. Somebody said, what about you? I'm here every Sunday just about it. And I know that you got, you're paid to be here. I haven't taken off in a while. My wife and I was talking about going off for the weekend. She let me know right quick we couldn't be gone on Sunday. So I'm coming back on Saturday. So guess what? Y'all going to hear me preach on Sunday. Because if I'm here, I'm preaching. Why? Because I love it. I like to preach, but I do eat. And those been around me when I eat, you know I love to preach. Glory. Come on, church, smile. Listen, this is what's important. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having a form of godliness, singing and clapping, doing all they want to do, but no real power. Church, can I tell you what's wrong with us in the church today? We're kind of like the children of Israel during the days of Eli, the prophet. His son, Phinehas, and the other guy stole the Ark of the Covenant because they were in war against the Philistines, and they were getting whooped bad. And they came back, got the Ark of the Covenant, and said, we're going to take it out. At least this will excite the men, and they'll get into the battle. And they take it out, and sure enough, the Israelites gather around that Ark. Woo, they're shouting and carrying on. And the Philistines are on the other side of the hill going, oh, no. When they start acting like that, it's bad. I mean, you know, it gets like that. They walk up here and their spears seem to move better. They throw them harder. Their swords whack on everybody and we all get busted up and dead because their God's helping them. And he said, one guy looked up and said, you know, I remember one time there was a king, had 185,000 men died in his sleep while he was praying for them. And they're going, man, we need to get out of here. And one of them old Philistines said, hang on, guys. I've been there when all that happened. That ain't the same shout. There's nothing in it. They just dancing and shouting for the fun of it. There's no anointing. It's all emotion. And they went down. Not only did they whip the Israelites, they took the ark, the glory of God, carried it back to Ashdod because there was no cloud in the shout. Can I tell you, that's the problem we got in the church world today. We got folks that have a form of godliness and they can clap with the best of them. They can dance with the best of them, but there is nothing behind what they're doing. And that's why the devil laughs at the church, because he understands as long as it's just a form of godliness, I got nothing to worry about. But if they ever find out what's going on and wake up and get an anointing in their life, they're going to knock me out and carry me. Listen, it's not just war in a physical sense. The war is in a spiritual realm. As of 9/11, America realized things aren't going to be the same in this country. Because now we've got to worry about the idea they can get in our country to attack us. And we begin to do all kinds of things to stop terrorist attacks in America we had never done before. We started finding out what airport security was all about. Honey, you don't want to go to Israel and get on one of their planes. Now, if you get on a German plane, you're pretty well off. But you start getting on an Israeli plane, son, they're going to know how many toenails you got clipped. We had people in our group, they wouldn't let on the plane. They had security stickers on their stuff. The lady said, I got security stickers. The guy walked over and said, where? She said, well, they were on there. He said, I know, but they're not there now, so that luggage can't get on that plane. Hello? I got one mad, and he cut my luggage. I didn't know it could understand English. My strap got stuck in the conveyor. Three of them was trying to pull it out, and they didn't think to turn the conveyor off. They would pull, and they'd catch. Gary Dobson, the pastor down Montgomery, come in and said, what's going on? I said, how many Jews did it take to pull something loose from a conveyor? They'd been speaking Yiddish. I didn't know they could speak English. And this guy reaches under his coat. He ain't got on a uniform. He's in a suit. He reached behind him and he said, and you ain't never seen the saber. That dude pulled out and called it a knife. He had fingers was in a lock thing. He flips it around. And there was a blade about that wide. And he reached over. And have you ever seen those big, thick straps? He never saw it. He just went. I went, whoa. He turns around. I said, man, you cut my suitcase. He went. I said, yes, sir. He said, you can sue me. I went, oh, God, he speaks English. Then he jumps down, and the guy leans over at me and said, Mossad in Israel, that secret police. He goes over and takes mine, Alex's luggage, throws it out on the floor, starts kicking stuff around. He said, you can pack this back up. A few minutes, this lady walks up, hands me a paper. She said, if you'll give this to your lawyer when you get home, you'll send it to the government. They'll pay you for your suitcase. And I'm like, it was from Walmart. It ain't that big of a deal. But ever since 9/11, things have changed. But can I tell you, ever since 9/11, in the spiritual realm, things have changed. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? Remember this morning I said some things had to be fulfilled? Zephaniah details 9/11 in the book of Zephaniah. All the way down to the high towers, the gold and the silver, people are walking around like they're blind. Their blood turned into dust. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? God described it. It had to happen. But ever since then, we've been on a trend that's moving us toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the war between the spiritual things of this life have gone farther and farther to the point now we don't have any control over what's going on. The church is set in the closet long enough, and we need to hear the words of Joel when he said it's time for the bride to get out of the closet, and it's time for the church to stand up, wake up, and let the world know there is still a God who is on the throne, and we need to get ready for him. Glory. Joel chapter 3 said, proclaim this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up, the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Glory. Scripture tells us we need to get ready. We need to get strong. We need to prepare for battle. Come on, church. But can I tell you something, church? You can have all the potential to be a mighty man. You can be wonderful. You can pray the gates off of hell. You can be a person that demons run from. But if you're asleep, they could care less. Huh? You ever notice somebody's asleep, they don't got a clue what's going on around them? My wife can vacuum in a room if I'm asleep. It won't bother me. I'm not like some of y'all. Oh, y'all make no noise. You wake me up. If I'm out, I'm gone. It may not be for long, but I'm gone when I'm out. The idea is when I'm asleep, doesn't really matter. The devil realizes I'm no threat to him. That's why when you get in bed at night, sometimes he's over going, rock baby. Some of y'all are like, he don't let me sleep. Well, maybe it's because he ain't worried about you. Huh? I have a friend wrote a song years ago called Warrior for the Lord. The second verse said, my alarm clock rings and the demons scream, oh, Lord, he's up again. Lord, I want that to be me. I want him over there. Keep him asleep. We don't want him up. He thinks about goofy stuff, and we never know where he's coming from. That's the kind of fight we need to have, where they ain't got a clue what you're going to do next, and they're worried about you so bad they clear out of the area you're in. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. We need to understand we're not fighting other people. I'm not fighting another denomination. Ephesians chapter 6 said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and high, but against principalities and spiritual powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm not fighting other people. I'm fighting demonic powers that come against me. They may be using those other people, but everything that goes wrong in my life, if God's not the one trying to get me to turn around, it's the devil trying to stop me. And the problem we've got is we've allowed him to make some of us worry, just like those people did about the promised land. We're not willing to go after it because we're afraid of the cost. I had a guy tell me one time, I'd really sell out, but I don't know what the devil would do. Who cares? If you sell out, he's going to leave you alone. Now, preacher, I don't believe that. You know, for years we had this saying going to church, oh, the closer you get to God, the more the devil's going to gnaw on you. That is not biblical. The Bible tells me if I resist the devil, what's going to happen? He flees from us, but he's got us believing if we really start praying, he's going to wear us out. Truth of the matter is, the more we pray, the more power we get in us. The more power we get in us, the less he can bother us. The Bible didn't say he's going to and fro on the face of earth, ooing on everybody he wants to. It said he's looking for those he may devour. If you get hot enough in God, you ain't edible. Come on, church. Come on. Ain't every one of y'all, we've all done it. Sit down to eat something, you want it so bad, you throw it in your mouth. And then realize you shouldn't have done that. It's so hot, you want something cold. I remember one time we were in Williamsburg and Alex greased over and got some of my split pea soup and he got in his mouth. We just sprayed it all over the table. It's too hot. I said, well, that's what you get for stealing my soup. Glory. But the reality is, if we get hot enough, Satan's not. Come on, church. I've told this story here, but we were down at the river one time cooking steaks. And this dog come up and got this other guy's steak. I know he did because mine was still on the grill. I stuck a fork in it and then like that, see, that's mine. Because that was after the dog got his. That dog pulled that thing off the grill. He was out there. He'd drop it and he'd run over and slide his mouth on the ground. I told the guy, I said, he only bit in one place. We could wash that. And you. He felt the same way y'all do about it. That dog got out there and he kept trying to get that. Finally, he walks off and leaves it. A little dog down the road come down, that thing had cooled. He grabbed it and he'd going down the road and the steak was almost big as he was. He was a little bitty beagle-like dog. He wasn't even a full-sized dog. He was dragging that thing a couple times. He turned backwards pulling it. He had him a steak. He was going to eat a while. The reality is it was too hot to start with. Amen. Samson was awesome when Samson was awake and anointed with the Spirit. But when he went to sleep, they shaved his head, tied him up in bounds, stole his anointing. And he got up and untied himself and danced around like he used to. Uh-oh, we're back to that place about not having nothing, aren't we? The Bible said he shook himself as in times before, but he wist not that the Spirit was not with him. He was so good at the motions, he didn't even realize there wasn't nothing in it. Sink in, because I can see some of you looking at what you're talking about. We got some people so used to the motion. Have you ever noticed that you got some people that every time they shout, it's exactly the same thing? It might be because it's not exactly the real thing. Oh, don't look at me like that. It's all right if it's close, but I think God don't touch you exactly the same way every time. Sometimes you'll cry, sometimes you'll shout, but you'll see something happen if God hits you. But if you do the exact same thing every time, you're worshiping, you shout. I remember one guy come down and I was praying for him and he got mad because I was holding his hand. He turned and he said, if you'll let go of my hand, I'll get my shout back. I turned loose his hand and he said, oh, I'm there now. I'm like, come on, church. Don't look at me like that. I was in Mentone, Alabama. I shouldn't have told you, but y'all probably won't know the person. But they weren't Church of God, but they was visited. And they were old-fashioned buns. And boy, she got up there and she wanted to shout, and I was praying for her, and she said, oh, I feel like shouting, let me go. I turned loose her hand. If y'all have ever noticed, I usually grab people's hands when I'm praying for them. It's a safety catch for me. You ever been hit by somebody, you'll learn to get a hold of one of them hands where you can control them. Don't look at me like that. Crazy things happen in Pentecostal services. I was in a tent meeting in Northside one night, and I think Freda was there, and this lady hit me and knocked me out. She had a right cross that wouldn't wait. She worked at Pico throwing chickens around in them crates, and she was doing like this, and I didn't see her, and I turned around, boom! One of the boys from Buell in the back said the sweat came off my head. She hit me so hard. All I know is I turned around and I grabbed a tent pole and went to the ground. I woke up on the bench with somebody rubbing a wet rag on my face. Now you know why I got a hand when I'm praying. I let that lady go and she shouted, bobby pins went everywhere. Then her hair flipped up and what was holding her hair up came out and she rolled the front of the church with toilet tissue. Hello? You know God was in that. Amen. But she wanted to get her shout down, so she got it. Listen, let's look at the characteristics real quick, like, now I'm going to quit. Number one, Caleb was a fighter. He'd stand up and wage war against the prevailing spirit of unbelief and fear. Caleb means forcible attack. Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. We're well able to do it. But now notice something. Also, spirit of Caleb is a spirit of advancement. The spirit was strong on Caleb, and he showed in his daughter. His daughter turns around, and listen to what she said. Caleb said unto her, what would thou? Wouldest thou? And she answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me Southland. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Caleb was awake. He was alert. He was prepared. Caleb was the son of Jephuth. Simply means he'll be prepared. He'll be ready. He was an encourager. He was a man of faith, motivated not by fear, but motivated by his faith. Caleb was bold. Caleb was a spirit of perseverance. For 40 years, he held on to the promise. Caleb was not moved by peer pressure. He didn't change just because everybody else changed. Come on, church. How much have we given up so we could get somebody to come to our churches? Huh? Smile at me. Because the truth of the matter is, we got some churches won't let you shout in the sanctuary because it might run somebody off. Well, I got news for you. That sign out says we're Church of God. It means we're the oldest continuing Pentecostal church in America. And if you don't want to see somebody shout, you ought not show up at a church like that. I come from a church where they check to see if you was dead if you didn't shout. Hello? Y'all have heard the old saying that shout to drop in a hat? We had folks coming through the door throwing a hat on the floor. Glory. Listen. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Caleb was in the tribe of Judah. Oh, we fixed to get something good right here. Anybody know what Judah means? It means praise. And they asked, who's going to go up for us first that we can fight against the Canaanites? And they said, let Judah go up first. Let praise go before we do anything. Come on, church. Jesus said, enter in my gates with thanksgiving and my courts with praise. Church, what we've got to realize is praise is important. Amen. True story. 1967, they're headed into Old Town. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel, but that hall right there is about as big as the streets are in Old Town. You can walk down and actually reach out and touch both sides of the road. The Palestinians had set up machine gun nests and gun crossfires all the way down through there. To run those troops through there was going to make them look like mincemeat, but they wanted the Old Town because it was so important to them to control Jerusalem. They put hundreds of thousands of military men outside. They were preparing to go through the gate. The general had made the decision. Whatever it costs, we need to have that place. One private coming off the back of a truck threw his gun in there and said, let Judah go first. He was just quoting scripture. But they misunderstood him and said, go through the Judas gate first. And they all run down the road, went through the Judas gate, which was about a half a mile away. And the general's like, who gave that order? But you know what? The Muslims were turned toward this gate. When they come through the Judas gate, they come in behind them. And by the time they got the guns turned around, one Israeli had been wounded when they took the old city. Why? Because God got involved in that boy trying to praise him and said, hey, let Judah go first. And Judah turned the whole thing around for him. Praise turned it around for him. And church, some of you need to realize in the last dying moments of your life, understand in the darkest hour of midnight, God puts a song in your heart. And if you'll start singing that song, he'll begin to turn around your morning. Caleb, forceful. Judah, praise. Jephune, prepared, ever ready. Caleb is a spirit of ever ready, powerful praise. Hello? if we can just wake Judas up, wake Caleb up. Joshua was looking for God to help. Caleb came to him and said, I'm going to go take that mountain. Joshua said, I'm retiring. I'm 85. I'm fixing to close, but some of y'all need to hear this. I have people tell me all the time, I can't do that. I'm too old. Well, you're only as old as you feel. And I'll swap bodies with some of you older than me anytime you want to. I get up in the morning, I'm snack, crackling, popping, going down the hall, trying to get going. My wife will tell you, I go out of the bedroom like this a lot of mornings, but by the time I make the kitchen, I'm going pretty good. I may not be as old as some of y'all, but I got mileage. You buy a car, you don't look to see the age. You wonder how many miles on that odometer, and I got a bunch of miles on this body. Amen. The reality, church, I had an 85-year-old woman teach me bus ministry. I don't know where she got that energy, but I hope when I'm 85, I've got half what she had. She was bringing 4 busloads of people in every Sunday on that bus in Jackson, Mississippi, because she knew bus ministry, and that was her heart. And she didn't care how old she was. All she knew was them buses needed people in them. And all day Saturday, she was knocking doors. We're doing bus ministry. We were wondering, you attend church. Would you like to come to our church? We'll bring a bus by and pick you up. And she's teaching me how to do this, and I'm trying to learn from her. She about kill me. Amen. The reality is, you don't have to give up. Joshua said, I'm 85 years old. Caleb looked at him. He said, I'm 85 myself, but I'm fixing to go take them mountains over yonder because God's going to give them to me. I'm fixing to go whoop them giants that all y'all been afraid of. We've been fighting all these little people. I'm fixing to go take the big dudes on now. Amen. He said, what are you getting at? It's time some of us woke up and realized until we get through, we don't lay down the sword. Till we get through, we don't put down the shield. Till we get to that place, they say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I've got to fight the fight of faith. I've got to stay alive and awake. Could you say amen? Glory. I'm skipping a bunch of this. We need to get to that place where we understand. Romans chapter 13, play something or I'll preach all night. That knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Jonah taking a trip on a boat. He's running from God. Get a chance to read that. You're going to find out something. If you read the story of Jonah, you find that he went down to Joppa, although he went north on a map. He went down to the seashore, although it was on the north of town. He went down into a ship, came up on the deck, went down into the water, and went down into a whale. It wasn't until he got down enough in the whale that he said, wait a minute, God. Everything's going wrong, but I'm going to sacrifice a praise unto you. And suddenly he started going up. He went up out of the whale. He went up into the city. Hello? Read the story. But something happened on that ship that fits this sermon, and I'm going to close with it. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. We got people today in Muslim churches in Birmingham praying to Muhammad. We got Satanists fasting and praying for the destruction of the Christian families in America. We got Buddhists that are lighting candles and rubbing Buddha's belly trying to get something going. And we got Christians acting like it's not a big deal. The guys on the ship starts getting tossed. It's hit a Euroclean wind. This is the same type of storm that was tearing the boat apart when Paul was on the Mediterranean. They're praying to their God, casting forth wares, making the ship light. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Boat's coming apart. To them, their world's coming apart. They're praying to their gods. Nothing's happening. But the representative God is. Church.
I'm afraid we're asleep when we ought to be wide awake and ready. This ought to be the moment the church ought to be moving in power and anointing and glory. And we're taking naps and dreaming about what's going to be when we get to another place. You know, we go home, we feel bad, we put on the gospel blues. Ain't going to be no tears in heaven. We sing a song about going to heaven, you get all excited. Sing a song about working for God, and you're like, I just want to go home. That's the problem. We got our mind fixated on something on the other side of glory when we ought to be fixated on the glory that's right here with us. And the people that we pass every day. Let the prophets wake up. Let the men and women of God wake up. Let the church arise. Let God arise. And your enemies will be scattered. Stand with me, church. Wake up, Caleb. It's time to wake up the spirit of worship, the spirit of praise, the spirit of anointing in the church. It's time to wake up and come out of our sleep and let God move in us. Set us on fire. God, have your way. Church, would you just raise your hands? There is a powerful move of God flowing through this building right now. God is trying to wake some of us up to reality of what's going on around us, to the reality of His presence and His power. Oh God, let your spirit flow. God, let your spirit move. You're here tonight. Say, preacher, I got some things in my life that I've allowed to put me to sleep spiritually. I've just been kind of snoozing while everything's going on around me. I've been trying to dream when I need to face reality. But I need to wake up the spirit of Caleb in my life. I need to wake up and realize the problems and the things God can use me to solve. God needs to wake me up with His anointing and set me on fire with His glory. If that's your prayer, I want you to head to the front of this building very quickly. I believe God's ready to wake some people up. God's ready to shake some people in this house. God's ready to move in some of you tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.